Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of News You Can Use here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin, and, you know, the name of the show is most appropriate, especially for this segment, because we're going to give you some great news that you can use. I'm so excited to have on the program with us today Jeff Marcus, who is a real estate agent for Sotheby's and also a seniors real estate specialist. Jeff, thanks for being on the show today.
Sure. Great to be here. Thanks, Ann.
Well, you know, I get your newsletters in my email, and that's what kind of, you know, prompted me to give you a call, because you put out so much great information for people. And, you know, I guess at 64... you're welcome. And I know it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of research, and good information is what we all need, right? We need to be informed, especially, you know, in today's economy. And I'm not sure if I'm considered a senior yet or not, but I'm 64, so I'm almost there, right?
Oh, but you're young at heart, so that's what matters.
Well, you know, and so this is kind of self-serving, this conversation, because I think I'm in a spot where a lot of seniors and people that will soon be seniors are in. It's like, what's next, especially when it comes to real estate? So, for example, I've lived in my beautiful home for 30-plus years in Connecticut, you know, childhood memories for my kids growing up.
Sure.
But now I've got this huge spot, huge house, and, you know, it's pretty much just me. So you have to ask yourself, what do I do? Do I downsize? What do I do with 30 years of crap in my attic and basement and everything else? So, I mean, what is the most common concern that seniors have? And you must hear these questions all day long.
Yeah, you know, thank you, first of all. I mean, by the way, I'm 64 as well.
Oh, so we're twins.
I'm right here with you. So these are the questions that I get almost all the time, and it's not surprising, because seniors, or let's say 55 or older, not seniors.
Okay, let's
They own 54% of the homes in the United States, but they only make about a quarter of the population. So most of the people that I'm talking to that want to sell their homes are obviously people who are not young people. Young people are having a hard time buying a house right now. Seniors also have almost two-thirds of the wealth in the United States. So the one thing that I would tell your listeners who are seniors and are having these same questions is, the first thing to do is to just take a breath and relax, because you're in a great position in terms of the real estate market. You have a house, and there's a huge deficit of homes in the United States, probably close to 7 million homes because of all the underbuilding since the financial recession of 2008. And also, I just looking forward, all politics aside, the kind of policies that the next administration is probably going to bring forward is not going to help out that situation. High tariffs and moving workers out of the country, and lowering taxes, are all of those things are not going to portend well for more home building. So people who actually own homes are in sort of the driver's seat. So all of your older listeners should just relax and say, hey, I'm in a good place if I decide I want to sell.
Well, let me ask you this. And so is the bottom line to your message then, keep what you've got and quit wishing to be somewhere else?
No. Absolutely not. And I mean, it may be that case, but I think the idea is to sit back and try to evaluate where you are right now. Like I said, the home ownership market is in your favor. There are, if you could divide it into three parts, it would be older people like you having a question, hey, should I stay in my home? Younger people who have families who now their homes are too small, so they probably want to buy your house, Ann, because they need more room for their kids. And then there are really young people who haven't owned a home, and they probably need to buy the home of the people that want to expand. The older people are in the driver's seat, because really what needs to happen for everything to move is you to sell your house so the whole thing can move along. But the main thing is to relax, but slowly start to ask yourself questions about what's important to you, what do you want the next stage of your life to be? I mean, you're in a good position, you own a home, you probably have some assets. The idea is, like, what do you want to do next? So now is a good time to sit back, make, you know, have some questions, speak with the people that are important to you, your family, your partner, the people that help you out, maybe a lawyer, a financial manager. Start to ask some questions about, you know, what do you want for the rest of your life? You have this period of time, which is puts you in a good position to go forward.
So there's this term called aging in place.
Yeah.
So yes. I'll use myself again as an example. Aging in place when I've got, you know, different levels, lots of stairs going up and going down.
Yep.
It sounds exactly good, but, you know, really, how realistic is that for a lot of people?
Well, it's probably not. I mean, you know, you're a young old person, but there is probably not a great idea to plan for that forever. I mean, all of us get older. I'm in great shape, but at some point I won't be in great shape, or I won't be able to do the same things I do right now. The main things to do are to think about feeling safe where you are, enjoying life, being near family and friends still, and being active. And those are the things that I think, those are the main goals that people that I talk to want to achieve. When you begin wrestling with the decision about, you know, what to do next, the idea is, do you want the burden of taking care of a larger home?
Mm-hmm.
What if you have to take care of an ailing spouse in that existing home? Like, what will their situation be? Are you close to family and friends? A lot of people that I talk to, especially some people who have some affluence, they have a home, or maybe they have a vacation home, but their kids now have, you know, kids who are in sports and really, really busy and can't visit them. So now they have some distance there, and the home that they thought was going to be the big vacation home, the family home, isn't really. So they're considering trying to move closer
to the grandkids. Yep.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing, right?
Yeah, right. You know, because the nuclear family, Jeff, I don't think is realistic anymore. I really envy those people who are all in the same neighborhood and get together for that Sunday dinner like we all used to, but it's just not realistic. I mean, I've got grandkids in Tampa, grandkids in Houston. I mean, and here I sit in Connecticut, so that is one of my considerations.
Well, I was just saying, I was going to go along with that. That's one of the things that, you know, in terms of travel, like if you're, you know, I've, like you, my kids are in Brooklyn, Denver, and Chicago, so... You know, it's not that difficult to see them, but you do need to have the spare cash to be able to buy tickets and Airbnbs and hotels and all that kind of stuff. So that may be a consideration. You know, instead of having this big house that no one's going to come and visit me at, maybe I need to have the spare assets and income available to travel more and to make sure that's comfortable for me in order to do that. The other things that people think about when they think about moving is they do might want to be near other friends besides just their family, just be near a group of friends that are like them, that enjoy similar activities, or maybe just join a community where there are lots of people doing the same thing, playing golf or, you know, taking hikes or taking walks or going to the beach or pool, whatever that thing is that you enjoy, even if it's hobbies or volunteering or whatever it is. There are people who just want to, you know, they want a warmer climate. I'm tired of the Northeast. I'm tired of Chicago. I need to, you know, I need some time to be in warmer weather, all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of reasons why people will think about moving originally, and then we can dive deeper into the aging in place, what that requirement is along with that. So
you know, but the other, and this is great advice. Again, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Jeff Marcus, who is with Sotheby's Real Estate Agent, also a seniors real estate specialist. You know, but I also, like, my mom lives in a a gated community in Florida, right? In this, exactly what you talked about. I mean, she's got the friends, she's got the community, she's got the golf courses, the swimming pools, and all that. So she's been down there now for about 6 years, and I go visit, you know, quite frequently. But, you know, it was interesting. I was, this last summer, I was sitting out by the pool, and all these overweight women and bald men were all standing around in the pool with their pool noodles talking about coupons and what kind of deals they can get at what supermarket. And, you know, I said to myself, after being down there several times, decision made, I'm not moving here.
Sure.
So you really got to check it out, because, you know, you can go and stay for a few days and they'll show you all the amenities and everything looks great, but you really got to spend some time and see if it's what you really want.
Yeah, I mean, that, and that is, goes hand in hand with the idea of taking your time, realizing that you don't have to make this decision right away, that there's all kinds of options. You know, over 90% of older adults say that they want to age in place, like your big home right now, but only 10% of homes are actually age ready. And we could dive into that later, what that means. So you can see there's sort of a mismatch there in terms of what people think about. And there's all kinds of ways, the options for people besides aging in place are many. You could move into a smaller home. You can move into an active living community. You can move into CCRCs, which are continuing care communities, and those provide for all levels of care as people age. There are residential assisted living communities. And then as people become, you know, if people really need way more care, there are nursing homes and memory care units.
Yeah, but I mean, I think I'd go kicking and screaming if somebody suggested that. So is it, you know, is it, let's just talk about Connecticut specifically. I mean, so is it a, I know you're going to, I know the answer already, but is it a buyer's market or a seller's market? Both.
Well, I think it would, I mean, it's less of a seller's market than it used to be, right? Because we had a huge, big time demand. It came out of COVID when people decided that home was a very important place because they weren't leaving their home, or because they had, obviously, all of a sudden they had more people in their home because their kids who were in their 20s all came back and worked remotely. I mean, there was a huge, huge influx of that. But I have to say that if you look at the supply-demand situation, whether it's in Connecticut, I mean, it is different all around the country. The Southwest is probably going to, they were able to build a lot of homes. Places like Connecticut, it's hard to build homes. Places like Massachusetts, hard to build homes. These are older areas where they're built out, not a lot of space. But if you get to, like, you know, Arizona or Colorado or Texas, there's way more space, and it's your the ability to build large communities is greater. And so those places may turn closer into a buyer's opportunity, but still, if you look at the country overall, there's a huge deficit of homes. It's very, very difficult to see a time, even the next decade, in which home supply and demand will actually equal each other.
So, you
know, it's tough to see that.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you don't know what you don't know, but I'm from Colorado and my sister still lives there and I also go there quite frequently.
Yep.
And, you know, if you look at the market out there, I mean, you're getting a postage stamp lot where you could literally hand the soap out the bathroom window to your neighbor, you know, and the prices are just out of control. I mean, when I grew up there, you know, the crappy part of town where you didn't want to live, I mean, these things are going for, you know, 500,000, close to $1 million. It's nuts. It's nuts out there.
My daughter's in Denver. It's the same way. I mean, and they actually, I on the way to her house from the airport, there was an amusement park right as you get into Denver.
Like Eliches.
Roller coasters and everything.
Eliches,
They are moving that out towards the airport because it's not valuable enough to put in the on the plot that it's on. They're going to probably build apartments and offices there. So, yeah, I mean, I just think in general there's more demand still than there is supply. So the whole idea of it becoming a buyer's market all of a sudden. I just can't see that happening.
You know, and the other thing that I think people have to take, and I know I'm taking this into consideration too, is weather. You know, I'm grateful to live in Connecticut where we don't have, I mean, we've had some brush fires, but, you know, it's not an everyday occurrence. Mudslides, sure. Hurricanes, occasional tornado watch, but no, I mean, tornadoes. I mean, all of the things, especially, you know, California and the West Coast, all the kinds of weather events because of global warming that people are dealing with. You know, I also think about safety. You know, it's weather-wise, it's a safe place to be in Connecticut.
Absolutely. It's interesting that you brought that up because about 2 years ago, I noticed a website called, it was a risk factor website that talked about fire, heat, flooding, a couple of things. Mm-hmm. They've now expanded to seven. Zillow has partnered with them. And if you look at a Zillow listing now, if you scroll down, you'll see all the risk factors that are provided by that company now. So people, you know, the amount of people that talk about is global warming an issue for me has gone from about 25% 5 years ago to about 75% now. Mm-hmm. So when people think about homes and where they want to be and all that, that is definitely a factor.
Yes.
But, you know, in terms of, you know, people getting older and thinking about what they want to do, it's good to have a conversation and talk about your house itself. So, for instance, Anne, if you were to talk about your house, you know, the conversation to have with yourself or with your family or whatever is to figure out how do you spend your day, what part of the house are you actually using, and you'll be surprised. I think a lot of people, like my mom is 86. And she lives alone. And if you talk to her about what she does all day, basically in a 3,000 square foot house, she gets up, she uses the bedroom, the bathroom, goes downstairs, makes herself something to eat. She's very active. She goes outside. She's gardening and chopping wood and doing whatever she's doing. But really in a 3,000 square foot house, between the den and the kitchen and upstairs and a bathroom, she's probably using about 1,600 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
So that house, the question is, does that house become a burden that she doesn't have to bear anymore?
Right.
I mean, could she enjoy her life without all the things that come with having to own a home, taking care of it, worrying about it, paying for it, all that kind of stuff? So those are the questions that people should have with themselves. You know, is this house an anchor or an asset?
Yes.
You know, am I really enjoying my life to the fullest by being here? Not only that, she's kind of isolated. I mean, she has a lot of friends and stuff, but she's isolated. You know, she's not in a community where some of the communities that we can probably talk about later, you know, you kind of think of them more as a college dormitory. You mm-hmm. know, you're in your room and then you walk out, you spend most of your time outside, either, you know, hiking with your friends or having meals or playing cards or playing tennis or doing whatever you're doing. But you're basically spending your time outside out of your room with people. And I think that's the way we all want to do. We don't want to sit in a room by ourselves or in a house by ourselves. We would rather, you know, be out enjoying ourselves with other people.
So the other thing is, you know, I find like some people have a summer home. I don't because, you know, I'm almost a slave to what I've got. You know, there's so much yard work. I do enjoy gardening and have a huge garden, flowers and vegetables. But, you know, how much longer, you know, am I going to be able to hop on that John Deere every 3 days in the summertime, right?
So sure.
You also have to look at the workload. There's not a lot of free time to really enjoy your home when you become almost a slave to it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree. And as you just said, you know, you spent 30 years in your house. You have all these memories. You have all this emotion tied up in the house. So these are not easy conversations to have. But I think people will find that once they start to have the conversation, it becomes easier. You know what I mean? Like it's always the thing that you don't talk about that you fear the most. Once you start having the conversation and adding things up and seeing the options, really, seniors have great options. And my buddy is he is a senior marketing guy for one of the largest CCRCs in this probably half United States. And he has these conversations all the time. And before they have, before people have the conversation, they're nervous. They don't want to talk about it. And once they start having it, and they realize, yeah, the guy is a Michelin chef in the kitchen. You know, I have my own garden plot outside. I take trips into the theater in Boston twice a month with my with all my buddies. You know, I can, you know, go out in the backyard. I can find three guys to play tennis with. You know, once that becomes the option, all of a sudden, it looks much better than waking up by yourself, making yourself a bowl of cereal, and then watching the news.
Exactly. You know, you make a good point, and I think you're right. It's the mindset. Like, I know my mindset has become, because, you know, the other problem is, you know, my kids don't want my crap. You know, I've got three sets of China. My daughter's not interested. You know, I've got all my son's old Power Rangers and Hot Wheels, and he doesn't want them. So
he doesn't want them? He can send them to me. I want them.
They're fantastic. And I got all the Power Rangers, the green one, the yellow one, the red one, and the blue one.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, I'm starting to downsize that kind of stuff, get rid of that stuff, and get some of the clutter out of there, which is also helping me. But, you know, you're right, it is a process. But then the other thing is, you know, you look at what you spent for your house 30 years ago, if housing prices were only that today, right?
Yep.
But then you go and you compare it to something smaller. You don't get the crown molding, you don't get the woodwork, you don't get what you're used to. I mean, it's scary. And even those places where you talked about, where there's a community, look at the price tags of those places. They're so expensive.
Yeah, you know, but if you think about it, these are hard numbers to think about, but I have people who have looked into having someone come and take care of their parents for, you know, 24 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
Yeah.
That, at minimum wage, that's $18,000 a month.
Wow.
Okay, so that's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important that people go out and understand their options and go out and decide what's important to them, because there are less expensive ways to do this. And if you think ahead of time, you know, there are ways to set it up so that as you age, the things that you need are in place already, versus somebody trying to do a patchwork to keep you in your 4,000 square foot house.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a much tougher ask for people. And, you know, I would think that if you look in the same community, even where you are, if you sell your house and buy a house that's half as big, you have to be putting some money in the bank. I mean, you just have to be, because taking any 4,000 square foot house versus a 2,000 square foot house, there's got to be a net money coming out of that somehow.
Well, you know, this is all great advice. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, that Jeffrey Marcus is, we go by Jeff, is really very knowledgeable, works for Sotheby's, has for a long time, very accredited, very well respected. So how can people reach out to you, and you can tell them how they can, you know, attain the Real Estate Edge reports and all that, Jeff?
Sure. The best way to get the information or contact me is to go to my Sotheby's website, jeffrey-marcus.com.
Okay, so again, that's Jeffrey, JeffreyMarcus, MARCUS.com. And you'll be happy to, you know, different topics, different times, and it really is interesting. So my last question is, you know, in a nutshell, what is your best advice for people right now listening to this program?
I think just to begin, just relax, start thinking about what's important to you, start asking questions and having conversations with the people that matter to you,
mm-hmm.
your spouse or partner, your family, maybe an attorney and a financial manager.
So don't make the decision in haste, right? And, you know,
absolutely not.
Right. The kids, well, what about, you know, the memories we made there? Well, you know, you got to do what's good for you, too. You can't let other people that aren't really involved in the current situation, you know, get involved in your decision making, because I don't think that ever ends well. So do what you need to do for you, especially, you know, at this stage in life, right? Life's so short. We know that.
Absolutely. Just send them the Power Rangers.
No, you said you want the Hot Wheels. Oh, I see. Send the kids the Power Rangers and you
want
the
right,
Hot Wheels.
That's right.
Okay, well, maybe we can work a deal. Look for a mansion for me in Ridgefield and we'll go from there.
All right.
All right. Thanks, well, Jeff, thank you so much. This was such great information. I hope that you guys enjoyed this as much as I did. And, of course, we couldn't do this without you tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.